Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And I will stop there. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that you would just give us this attitude that I will go. I will go and do whatever you call me to do. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say, but I will be a person who will go in obedience to you. So, Lord, I pray that this morning, if there's someone here that does not know you, that today would be a day that they would call upon you for salvation. And for those of us who do, that our ears would be open even more to your voice and we would be obedient. I ask that you would give me clarity as I preach your word today. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Last week, some of you came up and got your bag that had a seed in it. And I told you, don't do anything with it yet. If you have, it's okay. But if you have it, just keep it, because we're going to continue on. This morning, we're not going to hand out cups of dirt. I thought that might get a little too messy. But when you see the dirt, because the seed, in order for the seed to have any type of impact, it's got to be what? It's got to be planted. And so we're going to have some dirt. So sometime this week, you need to get you a little cup of dirt somehow to be ready. But don't do anything with it. Just get your dirt. And you think about the seed last week, what it represented, that according to its kind, and that God gave us the stewardship. And we talked about the emphasis being even on our own domain in the heavenly realm. But it begins with that seed. Well, we're going to see this morning that the hope of mankind is someone who will deliver mankind from the curse of the ground. He also promises Abraham that he will give him a land. So there's a lot of things that this dirt can symbolize and look at. But if we've read through Genesis, if you're reading through Genesis, and I'll encourage you to please read with us as we go through, because all of the messages are going to go through things that you have read. So we should be Genesis 1 through 14. And in Genesis 1 and 2, we kind of emphasized that last week of how God created all things and that the purpose that he created mankind was for us to walk in a personal relationship with him and that we would steward his kingdom for his purpose and his glory. And then Genesis 3 happens, and we read about the sin of humanity and the curse that comes upon the earth, the curse that comes upon mankind, relationships, and the divide between the spiritual and the natural, in which there is an enemy now at loose. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God says, I'm going to put enmity between your offspring, talking to Satan, and their offspring, talking about Adam and Eve. And it says, he will bruise your head, but you will bruise his heel. That is what scholars call the proto-euangelion. It is the first gospel message. It is the first prophetic word that there is coming someone who will be a deliverer, who will crush the head of Satan, who will undo the curse, and the promise of a deliverer is set right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And then the next chapter in Genesis 4, Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain is a tiller of the ground. Cain brought an offering of his own choice, of his own amount, of his leftovers, while Abel brought of his firstlings. God had regard to Abel's offerings, but Cain's he did not. And notice what God said to Cain. He said, sin is crouching at your door, and you must have mastery over it. Remember in Genesis 1 and 2, he gave mankind dominion over the earth. And we saw last week as we went through the story of redemption, how Jesus came and he gave authority over spiritual darkness, the battle of sin, what we must conquer. And Cain did not, and he kills his brother. First murder that happens. After Abel is murdered, Adam and Eve have another son by the name of Seth. And the Bible tells us that through Seth's line that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Cain goes east of Eden, and all of his descendants go east, and they are more corrupt and more corrupt. And the corruption on the earth is so great that God regrets that he even made man. Now, it has to get pretty bad when God gets to the point to where he says, I'm just going to destroy all things and just get rid of all mankind, right? Now, how many of you all look at our culture today and look at the world today and you think, man, it is so corrupt, huh? How many of y'all ever say that? And you think, man, and we'll say stuff like this, it can't get any worse. I tell you what, it's so bad. But can I remind you that in Noah's day, it was so bad that God said, I'm just gonna destroy mankind. It has to be pretty bad and evil and wicked with that, right? All the while, there is a hope for a deliverer. And so in Genesis chapter 5, verse 28, it says, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech would have been alive. Adam would have still been alive to have all those generations, you notice how long they lived there. Adam and Eve, they lived long enough to be able to tell the story of Genesis to all of those generations. And Lamech knew the story of the garden. And he says, Noah's name means peace. He says, maybe Noah is going to be the one to give us rest. The anticipation and the hopeful expectation that God would send a deliverer. Lamech is saying, maybe Noah's the person. Noah's the one that's going to provide the rest for us, that's going to deliver this curse that we toil from the earth. Maybe he's going to be the deliverer. And we know that Noah is not. But it's as if after Genesis 1 and 2, the creation of all things new, and then the curse, the fall of Adam and Eve, Genesis 3 and 4. It's almost in Genesis 5, God begins to do a new beginning. He's going to destroy the world and start new with this man by the name of Noah. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, it said, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. If you have your Bible out, if you're taking notes, I would mark this, that word favor means grace. It is the first time that the Bible uses the word grace. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. God met him. Within his wickedness and in his unrighteousness, God comes and meets Noah, and he imparts his grace to him. Because Noah too was in the line of who? Adam and Eve. And all the descendants of Adam and Eve, which includes us, are all born with what kind of a nature? A sin nature. and we all rebel against God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Aren't you glad that you found grace in the eyes of God? Aren't you glad that the Lord one day sought you out and chased you down and called you by the power of the Holy Spirit, opened up your eyes so that you could see how great and glorious Jesus is, so that you might be saved and redeemed? And he found grace in the eyes of God. And when he finds grace in the eyes of God, Noah's life changes. He becomes a man of righteousness. Look at that in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. This is Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Do you see that? He was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and he what? Walked with God. Well, when did he start doing that? Was it the fact that he was a righteous man and he was blameless and he walked with God that he earned God's favor? Or was it that Noah found God's favor and God put his favor and grace upon him and then he became a righteous man and he began to walk with God? See, that's we got to make sure that we understand the order. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It is a gift of God so that no man should boast. That comes first. And then the following verse, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when we find favor or when we are saved by God's grace, then it should change our behavior. Amen? Once we are a new creation, once we've been born again, then we become blameless and righteous in the eyes of God, and we begin to walk with God. Let me just pause here just for a moment and ask, are you walking with God? Do you know the Lord? Has there been a time in your life when you've said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you died on a cross and you rose again and I want to trust in you. And have you called upon him for salvation? And are you walking with him? Because Noah had an encounter with God and he began to walk with God. And then it says in verse 22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He did all that God commanded him. Well, what was it that he did all that God commanded him to do? That was when he built that boat that Pastor John was talking about. I told him, I said, you should just preach this Sunday because he's already fired up in staff meeting talking about the boat. He's like, no, you go ahead and do it. He's building that boat. Now, we know that it probably took him minimum 75 years, some say maybe up to 120 years, of building this boat. And when he built this boat, he did it just because God told him to. He said, I'm gonna judge the world, Noah. I'm going to bring a flood down on the earth. It's going to rain. We don't have any reason to think that it had ever rained before. And he's building this big boat in this desert. I'm sure he seems a little, y'all know what that means, Ryan? Nope. There's Noah. You see him? How many trees is he cutting down? You know? I wonder if the environmentalists were worried about that. Oh, you're destroying the world. Yeah, it's going to be destroyed. And he starts cutting down all these trees. You know, he's cutting. And every day. Now, Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So not only was he building this boat, but he was preaching righteousness. He was warning them, hey, Noah, you going back down to Lowe's again today? And just joking with him about all of the building material. But guess what? Noah just kept building that boat. He kept swinging that hammer day after day. He just was faithful. And Noah did all that God commanded. Man, wouldn't that be a great thing for the Lord to be able to say about us? You know, when you breathe your last breath and some pastor is preaching your funeral and they're saying things about you, man, wouldn't that be something to be able to say, that so-and-so, they did all that God commanded. On your tombstone, here lies, did all that God commanded. That ought to be our heart's desire, to love God with all of our what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so Noah built this boat because God told him to. That there was a storm coming, there was judgment coming, and that was going to be the way that he was going to be saved, him and his family. And Genesis 7, 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, what did he say? Go into the ark, and you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Go into the ark. And Noah and his family, they go into the ark, and that ark is going to provide their salvation. And we know, just as Pastor John was talking about this earlier, that ark represents the ark of salvation through Christ Jesus. Just as the judgment came in Noah's day, and that the only salvation was in that ark, there is coming a day of judgment. Once again, he will no longer judge this world through a deluge of water and flood the earth, but it'll come down with fire. And the only way to escape is if you are in the ark of the cross of the Lord Jesus, that you've been saved and set free and been washed in the blood of him. Do you know Jesus? Will you go to the ark? Will you go to the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me. That's how you go into the ark today. You call upon the name of Jesus. And so this morning, if you've never trusted in him, the Lord is telling you, go into the ark. Well, how do I get into the ark? I come to the cross. This morning, you need to come to the cross. And as Noah and his family get in, God shuts the door and the rains come. Verse 7, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood, and they were saved. As they were in the ark, after the weather dried up and the water resided and the boat came to rest, and they exited the ark, it's like something new has been born. It's like a new creation. It's a new beginning. Now we're with Noah and his family. And one of the first things that Noah does, Genesis 8:20, says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Remember, he brought seven of those. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. And he says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and the seasons will remain to the end. Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Where have you heard that before? Where? We read it this week. Where was it? What chapter? Genesis. One. Genesis 1 and 2, right? He gives the command for Adam and Eve to what? To multiply, fill the earth. New beginning. Is Noah going to be the man to bring them peace? It says, then God said, verse 12, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. Verse 13, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. That rainbow that you see, it is a sign of the covenant that God made, and that every time that rainbow is in the sky, it is God's reminder that he made a covenant saying, I will never destroy the world again. That's what it means. Would Noah be the man to redeem mankind from peace? Would he actually give them rest? Noah's name means rest. That means peace, rest. What's man searching for? Rest. Aren't we searching for peace? We're searching for rest. We see toil and troubles all around us. Isn't it nice just to have some good rest? How many of you, sometimes you just get so wore down with life and you just need some what? Rest. But there's the curse that stays with us. The older we get, the more pains and aches we start getting, don't we? We start feeling it. Well, Noah, what's he do? He goes and he plants a vineyard. Noah goes, plants a vineyard. That vineyard grows some grapes. He makes him some wine. And guess what old Noah does? If you read it, you should know it. He got drunk. You're like, oh. See, some of you thought the Bible wasn't interesting. He gets drunk. I mean, can you believe that? He was doing so good. He goes off and he gets drunk. And then Ham comes in and sees his father's nakedness, and then there's a curse upon him. He becomes the descendants of the Canaanites. A fall happens all over again, isn't it? New creation, new family, fill the earth. He sins. Mankind still looking for that deliverer in Genesis 3:15, the one that's going to bring them peace. Let me read something from what A.W. Pink says. In Genesis 11:10, it says these, this is the generation of Shem. Now, Shem is one of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Here's what Pink says about Genesis 1 through 11 before we get to verse 12. It has been well said concerning the book of Genesis that as the root of the stem, so are chapters 1 through 11 to 12 through 50. And as the stem of the tree, so is Genesis to the rest of the Bible. One of the main purposes of Genesis is to reveal to us the origin and beginnings of the nation of Israel. And in the first 11 chapters, we are shown the different steps by which Israel becomes a separate and divinely chosen nation. In Genesis chapter 10 and 11, the entire human race is before us, but from Genesis 12 onwards, attention is directed to one man and his descendants. Genesis is a theological book written by Moses to communicate to us the truth of who God is and who we are and how we might know him and be in relationship with him. And it's taking us through the journey of how God redeems mankind. And so in Genesis 1 through 11, it's the focus on all of humanity and how all of humanity has sinned against a holy God and how God's progression of salvation begins then with one man named Abraham. And he's going to call out Abraham to set up the seed of the nations. Now, last week we talked about how the dominion rule, as when Jesus comes back, the dominion rule is now over the spiritual realm. And we're moving to subdue and fill the earth and rule over it, now to the blessing of one man to rule over a nation. Now we're moving to a nation. So who is this man named Abram that everyone knows so well? In Genesis 11:31, it says, Terah took Abram. This Terah is Abraham's father, is Abram's father. So Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. That's going to be the promised land. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, Abram's father was not a follower of the Lord. In fact, the book of Joshua tells us that Abraham's father and his forefathers worshiped pagan gods. We believe it to be the moon god. Abram didn't grow up in a family that observed the ways of Yahweh, of the Lord. But God used him anyway. You know, there's some of you, you weren't brought up in a Christian home. You weren't brought up in a home that went to church every Sunday. And you think, man, well, God could never use me. Guess what? Yeah, he can. You can be in the middle of paganism, and God can call you out of that and redeem you and make you a whole new person. Isn't that good news? So this morning, no matter what your background is, God can use you. All you got to do is when he calls, say, I will. I'll go. Noah said, I'll go build a boat. He calls to Abram. Now, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, as he's preaching the message, he begins his sermon with, the God of glory spoke to our father Abraham. He says, the God of glory. Now, this is information that Stephen gives us that we don't get in the Old Testament, the God of glory. Who is the God of glory? We can read psalm after psalm about the King of glory, the God of glory. You know who that is? That's Jesus. Jesus appears to Abram, and he calls him out. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord said to Abram, what's he say? Go. Go. I will what? I'll go. He says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Go. Leave your father's idols behind. Leave what you've known and just go follow me. You know, when we're born with a sin nature, and we're born around brokenness all around us. And when God calls us unto himself, you know what he tells us to do? Go. Leave that and come follow me. Leave your life of sin, die to yourself, and come and follow me. He tells Abraham, leave your ways, leave your father's ways, and come and follow me. Come follow me to a land that I will show you. He wasn't even told where he was going. God just said, follow me, and I'll tell you when you get there. That's faith, isn't it? Because what we like to do is we like to see it before we can believe it, right? That's our human nature. Let me see it, then I'll believe it. Well, God says you have to believe it in order to what? See it. You have to believe it before you ever see it. And Abram was called out by the Lord. He was encountered by Jesus. He saw the King of glory, the Lord of glory, and God called him into a new way to live. Go follow me. Does that sound familiar? Who comes to people and says, hey, come follow me? Jesus. Go. Go, leave your land. He promises him three things. I will give you land. He says there then in the next verse, verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. That nation is going, it will become the nation of what? Israel. And I will bless you and make your name great. Abraham is well known around the world. You know that? Three major religions come out of Abraham: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All tie their roots to Abraham. So I believe God's promise to Abraham that he would have a great name. Yep, I think he was good on his promise. What about you? Made him a great nation, Israel. And then it says something else. So he says, go, that's a command, and leave your country. Now, the last part, verse 3, the last part of verse 2, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. That's what our English translations say, so that you'll be a blessing. That's really not what the Hebrew says. It's not causatic. It's not, this is what's going to, so you'll be a blessing. It's a command. It really should just read like this. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great and be a blessing. It should be a command. And be a blessing. Go and be. Say that with me. Go and be. You're like, Pastor, man, I don't know what. Yeah, you should have let Pastor John preach today. I don't even know what you're saying. Just wait, hold on. Follow me. Okay, now watch this. The command from Abraham was to go and be. Go and be. The promise to Abraham didn't lead to him being the man of peace. The promise of Abraham goes through and brings us the nation of Israel. It's not the nation of Israel that will bring peace. There will be a king by the name of David. It's not David that brings peace. Will it be Solomon, his son? No, it's not Solomon. Well, who will it be? Who will come and bring peace to earth? Who will come and give us rest? It will come from the line of Abraham. It will be his seed, Galatians. It is Jesus, who is the promised seed of Abraham, who will come and take away sin from the world. Amen. Right? Abraham was called to leave his country and go to where God showed him. He's called the man of faith, Father Abraham. But there's one greater than Abraham. There was one who was before Abraham. There was one that walked this earth about 2,000 years ago that said, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And he longed to see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced in it. Amen. Well, when did he see it? When the King of Glory appeared to him and said, get out of that country. And so Jesus is the promised seed. And Jesus is the faithful one. Jesus is the one that abandoned his country of heaven to come and walk this earth. And it was Jesus who perfectly obeyed the Father's will. It was Jesus who said, I don't do anything on my own authority. Whatever the Father tells me to do, I do. And so Jesus lived a perfect life to redeem us from the curse in Genesis 3. And he became the curse for us when he hung on that tree. And when he rose again on the third day, he conquered death, hell, and the grave and promised everyone who would come to him and enter him, they would find rest or peace. Come all who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Lamech says, is Noah the man of peace? No, it's not Noah. Oh, it's going to be Abraham then. No, it's not Abraham. Oh, then it's David. No, it's not David. It's not Solomon. It's Jesus. He's the one of peace. He's the one that brings us rest. This morning, guess what? You need to know Christ. You need to be in Jesus. You need to be in him. If you want to have peace, you got to know Christ, for he is our peace. And then, when Jesus calls us into his ark of salvation, and we're in the boat, there's still work to be done. It's not just a love boat. It's a warship. It's got a mission. It's fighting the enemy. And you know what Jesus says? He says, go Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of how many nations? Not just some nations, but what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. He gives us the command to what? Go. Where do we go? We go make disciples. When God says go, guess what you do? You go. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my what? Witness. In Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Go and be. What did he tell Abraham? Go and be. What's he tell us, church? Go and be. Every day we go and be a witness. Because when we're a witness, we become a blessing. How are we going to bless this world? By being a witness. How are we going to be a witness on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? We live out our faith. We pick up our hammer and we start swinging. We start doing what God says to do. If God says to go here, that's where I go. If he tells me to say this, that's where I say. If he leads me to pray for someone, I pray for someone. If I'm to go visit someone, I go visit them. If I write him a card, I write him a card. If I'm to share with them the gospel, I share with them the gospel. If I'm going to do an act of service for them, that's what I do. If I'm going to bless them, maybe financially, whatever it might be, whatever God lays in your heart to go and be, you go be it. And as we all go be it, we will be a blessing. And the kingdom of God will expand. Because there is coming a day when Jesus returns. He's coming again. And so what do? We are people who go and be. We go and be. How often do we do that? Until he returns or we breathe our last breath. Because guess what? I don't have to see it to believe it. I just have to believe it to see it. There is a better land I'm going to. There's a better home that I'm headed to. There is a home in heaven. I've never seen heaven. Have you seen heaven? I've not seen it. I don't know where my loved ones who love Jesus, I don't know where they are. I haven't seen them, but I know they're there. I know there is a city that God has prepared for those who love him. I know there is a river of life that runs through that makes glad the city of God. I know that there is a place where Jesus reigns and where he's coming down and he's going to bring it down to earth. I know that we will be with him. I've not seen it. I don't have to see it because he told me it's coming. And if he said it's coming, guess what? It's coming. So what do? I go be. I go be who he's called me to be. I do what he's called me to do. That's how I live. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, there may be someone here today that needs to be saved. They need to trust in you. They need to go to the ark of the cross and ask for your salvation. So Lord, today, if there's someone who needs you, who needs to trust in you, would you open their eyes and would you call them to your grace? Lord, there may be someone, they've never been baptized and they need to go be baptized. They're a Christian, but they've just never followed you in believer's baptism. Lord, would you speak to that individual? And Lord, for those of us who know you, who have followed you, help us to be more and more like you. Help us to be more conformed into your image. Help us to be more faithful. Help us to live a life where it's more of you and less of me, that we die to ourselves. And so God, call us to be people who go and be. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.